Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody else. There y'all are. Well, I want to welcome you today. We're going to welcome because we're on live, so we're going to welcome the rest of our Christ Fellowship family that's not here today. We miss you guys, but we will be seeing you guys soon. And to everyone else, I see all kind of visitors here today. We want you to know you're welcome. We're glad that you're here. You had a lot of choices that you could have made this morning, a lot of places that you could have gone to, but you chose to come here. My number one question for you is, did you mistake this for the Cracker Barrel? Because it looks a whole lot like it. But I'm telling you, I believe something wonderful is going to happen today, and I don't believe that's just preacher talk. Today is the day of Pentecost. Are there any Pentecostals in the house? Because you got one right here. But let me just tell you how crazy it's been. This is probably too much information, but I was here early this morning, and we had a welcoming committee of 20-something buzzards right out here by the church. There was a deer. And I didn't want y'all to pull up to that, so I ran home and got my rubber boots and rubber gloves and lassoed a dead deer and drug him down the hill. That's why all those buzzards are in that big tree out there. So it's been quite an interesting morning for me already today. But I'm ready to worship the Lord. The Bible speaks of an acceptable worship in the New Testament. Did you hear what I said? The Bible speaks of an acceptable worship. You know what that makes me understand is that if there's an acceptable worship, then there's also an unacceptable worship. I don't want to be on that side of things. When the worship is aimed to God, I don't want mine to be unacceptable to you. And I don't believe it's going to be that way this morning. I am so excited to be here. I am so excited for what God is going to do today. And some of you are here for your first time. So we got some first time evers here. Then we got some that are the first time back since the virus and everything. Welcome back, everybody. And without any further ado, I'm ready to get on with the business at hand of worshiping our Savior. Amen? Will you stand on your feet? Father, we love you. You are so good, and we are so grateful to be in this house today. And we look forward to what you're going to do. I've already sensed your presence here. I've already sensed the enemy trying to mess things up, but he's already defeated. And we just thank you, God. So we say to the enemy what your word says, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Lord, let this be a place of freedom and liberty, of deliverance, setting free. We're so grateful for you in our lives, what you're going to accomplish today. So we give you praise. We're going to sing your praises right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I'm
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
must have your presence. Like Moses said, so well, without your presence, how will we be distinguished from any other people? It's all about your presence, God. Thank you, Lord. We need your power, God, but if we get your presence, we get your power. Because he's omnipresent. Everybody gets his presence. We don't enjoy the presence of God because we have a holy book. Other religions have a holy book. We don't even enjoy the presence of God because we have a moral code, because other religions have a moral code. But we get to enjoy the presence of God because there is a manifest presence of God. It's called the Shekinah glory. And God set it up when we come together and worship Him. In the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, He comes and dwells right there in the midst of that. That's the presence of God. And during this time of isolation, I chose for my house, it would not be a time of isolation, but it would be a time of solitude. Because there's a difference. Isolation feels forced. Isolation feels lonely. But solitude is something that you choose to set time aside with Almighty God. And in that time, He began to speak to me about something that He wanted to do. But we needed to make sure that when we come back together that we have His presence. And some of you got in deep with God during this time, and you were able to have a long time with Him. And I was getting wonderful reports of family devotion and family Bible time and family, cutting off electronics and all of those things. Not that they are bad, but they can overtake and they can come across the boundary lines of some very important times in your life.
Amen.
And in that, God led me to the scriptures about David. When the ark of God had been away. And I've been preaching about that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The ark of God represented the presence of God. And David called all the people together and he said, we need to go and get the ark of God. We need to go get the presence of God and bring it back.
Yes.
And everybody was agreeing about it. And they began to sing songs of praise. And it had to be powerful. After all, it was David who was leading the worship. And in all of that, that happened, as they had set the ark of God on carts to be pulled by oxen. It happened when they came across the threshing floor that the ark stumbled, and you remember what happened? Uzzah stuck his head out to settle the ark, and God struck him dead. And David became so upset, he said, God, I just wanted your presence back. God, tell me, how do I get your presence back? And God showed him You did something wrong. You had all the people in agreement. You had the praise and worship going. But you did not check with my order. Because God had said this way back when it came to the presence of God and moving the ark of God. He said, even when you build it, you will build it with rings. You remember that? And staves, you'll carry, you'll slide those long sticks through those rings. And it will be carried by the Levites. And that will be the order of things. And you didn't get that right. You put my ark on a cart. And I will not have it that way. Matter of fact, he said, when they got the carts, these carts will be passed out for this area of work and this area of work. But my ark will never be carried on one of those arcs, on one of those carts. The intention was that, the reason for all of that was so that the priests and the Levites, when they carried the ark of God, they would have to carry the weight of the ark of God. The ark of God represented the presence of God. They were supposed to feel the weight and the presence of God everywhere they went. And you can't sub that out to anything else. And if we want the real presence of God, we've got to feel the weight of the glory of God so that when He wants to move, we're able to stop and do what He wants us to do and go where He wants us to go. Being led by His Spirit. And the presence of the Lord is in here this morning. And it's thick. And anything could happen as the Lord's presence is here. And I just want to take a couple of minutes and bask in that. I want you to go back and sing that talks about His presence. What does it say? Let your presence come. Let your presence fill this place. And I want you to... I started it off saying there's an acceptable and an unacceptable place of praise. There's an acceptable and an unacceptable place of worship. And I believe we're right there on the acceptable part. I believe that God is saying, that's mine. I'm going to receive that. But I want to just bask in that for a minute. Can we just take this time just for a couple of minutes right here? Sing that, Christine.
Let your presence fill this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven
of our praise. Amen. He is so good. God is so good. Will you just look at your neighbor and tell him, He's so good. God is so good. He's been so good to me. So good. It is indeed in our life, and you know there's something that we need, God, and thank you that the answer is already in process. It's in the process, God. Thank you, Lord. Just like you showed Daniel. Daniel prayed for something. 21 days later it happened, but you said, I had already heard you 21 days ago. So I thank you, God. I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you, Lord. Thank you, God. Anybody can thank after they get the gift, but I'm thanking you in advance of it because you're a good God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I told you something last week because everybody loves a yes from the Lord. But a God that'll give you a no understands the consequences of his yes. So learn to thank God for his no's also, right? And thank him for his will, not yours. And thank him for his timing and not yours. You want it to be perfect, right? Because if it comes from him, it'll be perfect. Not manipulated, but you can praise him in advance for it. And I believe praising him in advance speeds the process. It at least helps me see it the right way. Amen? Come on, one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the answer that's on the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. You're so good to us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you release ministering angels. Ministering angels. You go right to the need that we have. You already know it before we even ask you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You're so good. We love you, Lord. Something I want to share with you guys in just a minute. But we're going to worship with our giving. We also like to take time to make folks welcome. Your fellowship is important. I don't believe anybody got here by accident. I don't believe that at all. I believe it was an appointment. Where it goes from here, I can't tell you. But I believe that you're here on purpose this morning. And I believe that God's got a word for you. And I believe you've already prepared your heart for that word of worshiping this morning. But I want you to do this. All of Christ Fellowship people, you get out of your seat and let's move around and make folks welcome. If you're visiting today, stay right where you're at. And we want you to know that you're welcome here today. Brent, bring up the light so they can see who they're running into. And we're going to take the time right now to worship with our giving also. Thank you. I love it when y'all love each other. I feel like a substitute teacher sometimes when I come up here, like the class done gone wild, like, oh, settle down. I'm happy to be in church where people love each other. It's supposed to be that way, right? My heart's full already. It sure got better from the first part of this morning, I'll tell you that. Way better. It didn't take much to get past that, so it started off and it shot straight up though like a mountain. And it's just so wonderful, the body of Christ. And I know that everybody's not back yet. I know for particular reasons. I believe me, I get it. I get it. But when things get back to normal, this is what my prayer has been. That church becomes our excuse to miss everything else. I said, that's about 45%. I'm believing that church is going to become my excuse to miss everything else. Sometimes we don't appreciate something until it's taken away from us, but a lot got taken away this time. Right? A lot got taken away this round. And I'm so grateful to be among the body of Christ and the believers. And I got so, it's so weird preaching to an iPhone. That was crazy. You know, say amen. It's a smartphone, but it can't say amen. The day of Pentecost. You know, Pentecost means 50. 50 represents the days, the number of days that passed after Passover. We just got through celebrating Easter. Before Easter, we celebrated Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. And then we celebrated Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection. And about day 40 afterwards, he was with the people for 40 days, and up to a number of 500 people saw him alive at one time, and he came and visited different ones. And then he told them, go to Jerusalem and tarry right there. And I'm going to give you something that I promised you. Haven't really understood it yet, but you'll understand. I love a scripture in John where Jesus said this. He says, right now you don't understand what I'm doing, but you will.
That's right.
That will preach all by itself. Yeah. How many times has God done something and you didn't know what in the world he was doing?
Amen.
You know why you didn't know what in the world that he was doing? Because it involved more than what was in the world. It involves something in the heavenlies.
Amen.
Woo! I'm going to have to settle myself
down. Okay, let it go.
That reminded me when somebody was praying for me down at the altar when I was a kid. You know, I told you we were going to get some altars back in here.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
But I remember somebody praying, let it go. And somebody said, hold on. And I didn't know which one to do. Are they talking to the devil or me? I feel reedy this morning. I want to read you this. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 2. I said I feel reedy. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. You know, you can't preach wrong if you read Scripture. They used to gather in the synagogues and just read the Word of God. Let's start with chapter 1 and verse 4. No, let's start with verse 1. It's just so good. Because a lot of times, you know, we leave these scriptures alone. We just do. I'm not bragging about that. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible truths or unmistakable proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They didn't understand. He's telling them plainly they didn't understand. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. All the disciples were there. Jesus' mother was there and some other women and his brothers. Go to chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided or cloven tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, somebody say sound.
Sound.
When this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. Then Peter got up and he preached. And he just told them this. He said, not long ago this man came and he began to preach the gospel. And he told you what would happen, and you turned around and killed him, and you crucified the Son of God. But he didn't stay down. He arose again. And he preached the gospel to them. And they said, What can we do to be saved? And he told them what they could do. And that day, thousands came. Their souls were gathered unto the Lord. It was a mighty time. And they began to actually go in their houses and bake bread. And they began to share things. They began to eat with each other. And it said that they would talk about the doctrine or the teachings of the Word of God that the disciples were giving them. And they would break bread. And they would have this awesome fellowship together. And this amazing thing had just took place where all of a sudden, the promise of the Holy Spirit came to them. Now I want you to turn, but before you go, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. There are some things that happen with a sound with God. A lot of what God does, it starts with a sound, and then something's manifested out of that sound. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he spoke. There was a sound of his voice that when I said, let there be light, and there was light. In Revelations, it talks about the voice of God being like the voice of many waters. And it says, of the last day, that a trumpet shall sound.
Amen.
When God makes sounds, something happens afterwards. There was a sound in this building this morning.
Come on now.
Of worship.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you. There was a couple times I just had my hands raised, and then there's a couple times I just didn't have any strength left in my body, because there's just such an awesome presence to God. And sometimes it's not all the shout. Sometimes it's just a true awe of His glory. Look at John chapter 16. And verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus was talking about His death. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. How many of you know there's help?
Amen.
In the Holy Spirit of God?
Yes.
Go back a page or two to chapter 14. Start with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. He will give you another helper, a comforter, that He may abide with you forever. How long?
Forever.
Can I tell you that whatever comes up in your life, there is a comforter for the situation.
Amen.
God was not just making up things and trying to just say something to make you feel better. You know, I think we've all been guilty of our kids being hurt, and we tell them, what do we tell them? We tell them, they say, it's going to be okay. And their legs turned around backwards and snapped, and bones are sticking out. It's going to be okay. And we're scared to death. We don't know. We hope we're speaking prophetically, right? It's going to be okay if I don't pass out in the process. But Jesus did say that we're not supposed to even be afraid. And not even to worry for things. Why? Because we've got the Holy Spirit.
That's
right. We've got the Comforter. And where is He living? And how long did He say He'll live there?
Forever.
Y'all are listening well. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What an amazing promise. Now I'm going to go in a very unorthodox way to Genesis chapter 11. Because if you remember what we just read in Acts chapter 2, it says that they were in one mind and in one accord. You know what that means? That means that they're on the same page.
Right.
And something wonderful happened. But I started off a few minutes ago telling you about people being in one mind and one accord. And David had everybody signed up and everybody was voting yes to go get the ark. They were in one mind. They were in one accord. The only problem was they were outside of the will or the way of God. They were outside of God's process and the way that He had designed it. Can I tell you that God doesn't switch things around for you? And you're not a special case? What is that thing that they tie on to bills in the government? They're a special needs group or something like that. What's it called? Come on, pork. I know it's pork. What is pork, though? It's called something. Close. Well, anyway, when they're trying to pass something through and they tack a couple of things on there, it's like a special interest groups. You are not a special interest group in the sight of God.
Amen.
He does not put His word down except for you, a special interest group. Let me say it like this. People say this all the time. Well, God just understands. Bless your heart. Let me tell you what God understands. God understands this. Do you understand what God said? I'm telling you, when it all shakes down and we stand in front of the Lord, I'm going to tell you what it all is going to come down to. Simple obedience.
Amen. Come on.
Because you can even quote it, but if you don't walk it, it's of no benefit to you.
That's right.
Simple obedience. Simple obedience. That's a whole other thing. So when David had everybody on board, except he didn't have God on board. Do you know how many preachers would love to have everybody on board? Do you know that that's how a lot of our churches have learned to roll and function? Is if we can just get most of the people on board, then we can maybe go with it. How about if just one person heard from the Lord?
Come on.
Because you know he'll speak to men. And they had, David had everything right. He had all the people in one mind and one accord. They all voted yes. Let's go get the presence of the Lord. And they had the most incredible singing. Only second to the worship team at Christ Fellowship Church. Only they were that good. I love my worship team. They'll make it easier for anybody to preach behind y'all. Wasn't the first time that people had been in one mind and one accord. Genesis chapter 11. David got all the Israelites in one mind and one accord. The disciples had about 120 people with one mind and one accord. But this scripture right here, Genesis chapter 11, says the whole world. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Say one.
One.
And it came to pass, say it together, one.
One.
One, 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 one. Y'all make me laugh sometimes. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Listen to this. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. I just can't help but see little shadows and things and foresights of a people that came together. They weren't baking bricks. They were baking bread to share. And they weren't making a name for themselves, and they were about to be scattered all over the earth. And that scattering was going to cause the gospel to go turn the world upside down. But these people, it said, let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. That's a powerful principle right there. Very powerful principle. Everybody saying the same thing. God looked at it and said, now that they're saying the same thing, anything could happen. God said that. God looked down at that. You want to get God's attention? Get everybody saying the same thing. Get everybody saying the same thing. Do you know what I love? And this is one of my pet peeves, is that I love during worship As we're singing, I love for the words to be right there. I can't stand it. I hate it when something happens and it jacks up our screen and we don't get the words where everybody can see them. Because you know what that means to me? That means that everybody can't say the same thing at the same time. I'm a principles guy. Y'all know that about me. I have strong principles that I live by. And one of my principles is right out of His Word. Everybody saying the same thing means that anything is possible.
That's right.
Amen.
So I cannot stand it when we're on the first verse, but the second verse words are up there. Ah! It's like some people's thing is fingernails on chalkboard, but that's one thing like, eh. Or if we're singing the words, now Jessica, you do a great job. I want you to come back next week because your husband plays the bass and your kids are cute and your son stands beside my son. So Jessica, you did awesome. Just so you know, I'm not preaching against Jessica today. But you know, every now and again, it could be possible. Not with Jessica, but if somebody was besides Jessica didn't know. I'm digging deep. Anybody got some post-hole diggers in the back of your truck? But here's the thing. So, where was I?
Words
on the screen driving up. So here's the thing. What makes it even bad is whenever those words drag. Like we're on the first verse, we're singing the first verse, but we're into like three words, and then all of a sudden it pops up, and my brain's like, ah, deliver them, Lord. Why though? I'm being a little facetious, but I want us all saying the same thing. Agreement. Do you know whenever you're riding down the road and it's Thursday now. Sunday was 4 days ago. And you start feeling a little bit depressed. And you turn on your radio and you hear an old country song. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And you ask yourself why you do that. Because you're a little bit down, you're a little bit depressed, and you need to hear about somebody else's grandma that got ran over by a train, or somebody else's dog that got kicked. And what you're looking for is a spirit of agreement, and you don't know it. And say it's Monday. Sunday was yesterday, but that's okay. Sunday still. Sometimes, even though Sunday was yesterday, it's Monday. Sunday was a long time ago. And you got a raise on your job. Right? And all of a sudden, you turn your radio over to some good hard rock and roll. I got a raise. And you're shaking that head like my son do it, son. Woo! And yeah, if you don't know me, I had hair like that once upon a time, but that was many Sundays ago. The thing is, we search out for agreement. And music is one of those avenues that really helps us to come into agreement on some things like that. But it is very important that we come into one mind and one accord, because the Word says that God looked down on the people and the whole world was of one language. And they were all speaking the same thing. And God said this. He said, now that they're in one accord, and now that they're in one mind, and now that they're all thinking the same things, they're not just thinking the same, they're saying the same thing, they're speaking the same language. Now they set their minds to this, nothing will be impossible with them. See, I believe when we come together and we're saying the same things, even when we're singing the same thing, you know, a lot of times people get breakthrough during worship time, during the music. You know what? We're saying the same things.
Yes.
Amen. I believe that. I believe in the principles of God. I believe when we're saying the right things in His presence that He's looking down and He's saying, that's an acceptable worship. and I will bless them. I believe that. Not that we manipulate the presence of God or the power, but there's something to the principle. And God said this, we must go down. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We must go down. And what did he do? Confuse their language. And what was that tower called then? It was called the Tower of Babel. Babel, blah, 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 blah. Because God went down and confused their language. And all of a sudden, these people couldn't say to these people anything that made sense. And these people couldn't say to people to know anything to those people that made any sense. And it was all confused. And they began to go separate ways. You know how that works? All you have to do to confuse a thing is get one person to say something different than everybody else. Y'all believe in coffee in this church, don't you? This place looks like the brown map. Say we decided to get some new carpet. And say we said, well, the old carpet was brown. And maybe we just ought to come in here and just stain it with more pots of coffee. We'll have a deeper, rich, brown colored carpet. We have the fellowship. I'm not complaining about the carpet. We can get some more carpet. But say, let's don't go with that color anymore. Let's go with, Brent has the idea. Let's get pink carpet. And Billy jumps in and says, yeah, let's get pink carpet too.
Amen. Got to support my brother.
The pastor said that orange carpet.
Bill said, hey, and it's going to turn this thing to a safety team thing. Let's get some pink carpet.
You see, they had our back, Bill.
No, man.
Pink carpet, pink carpet. Everybody's got pink carpet. But all of a sudden, Tiffany says, well, let's go with blue.
Yeah.
You know that feeling.
It only takes one person. And it can confuse the whole thing. You see how important it is for us to be in one mind and one accord. So they got it wrong. And David got it wrong before he got it right. And then in the New Testament, the disciples that were becoming apostles got it right. What do you think that we ought to do? Get it right.
Amen.
Have we not seen how getting it wrong does not benefit us at all? And it disappoints God and it breaks his heart. And as long as we are about coming into this place and singing his praises and opening up his word and digesting his word and letting his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen?
Amen.
As long as we do that, and then we latch onto a scripture that it says this, by constant use of his scripture. I think it's Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. It's talking about spiritual maturity and spiritual immaturity. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, in verse 12, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What God is saying right there It's by the constant use of His Word. Say constant use. Constant use. What He's saying is this isn't a one and done. This Christian walk that we're walking right now, this is not a one and done. This is by the constant use of His Word. Not our Word, His Word. That's where obedience plays the big part right there. All the way from the beginning, they were in one mind and one accord, but it was for themselves. Let us build something for ourselves. Let's build a name for ourselves. And God says, that just won't do. By constant use of His Word. Constant use of His Word. It's very important that we make the decision to include His Word. I saw something this week. It made me chuckle, but boy, it's the truth. I think it's just a little meme that said, I'm probably not going to quote it just right, but it said, don't tell me that you're not hearing from God if you're not opening His Word. That's pretty good. Because, you know, we get like that. I'm just not hearing anything from God. I'm just not hearing anything from God. That stings a little bit, doesn't it? It stings saying it. Y'all understand when I'm preaching at you, I promise you it's coming right back at me too. I'm not exempt from any of this. Sometimes I'm like, whoo, Lord. So I want to end with this. Something that the Lord gave me this week. Several Sundays ago, you guys know that about once a month or so, I will bring my beautiful wife up here and she'll help me out because she is a true help. Do you know that in Genesis when God created Eve for Adam, He called her a helpmeet? And it didn't mean that she was His servant, like, honey, go get my tea. Y'all got real quiet. Nobody said nothing. Y'all got... Honey, go get me some sweet tea and bring a bag of chips and a box of Little Debbie's. That's a good woman right there, I'm telling you. You find a woman that'll do that, you better hang on. That's a good woman. But He said that she's helped me. That meant that she was fitted perfectly for Him. To complement Him. His strengths and her weaknesses and her strength and His weaknesses. The two are better together than the one ever was apart. But He said, a helpmeet for me. So every time I see my wife come in the room, you know what I think? Help has walked into the building. My help is here. The Holy Spirit is a help for you. And I had her up here one Sunday, and she said something. And when she said it, I just said, woo, spirit of revelation. Say that again. And she said, John, our faith is anchored up into God. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. She said, our faith isn't anchored down to this earth. Our faith is anchored up. And I said, woo, that will preach. And this week, I think it was Monday morning, I was having a little devotion time. And when I got through, I took off in there with my Bible. I said, Christine, you remember that thing you said about our hope being, our faith being anchored up? I said, I found it in the Bible. You were right. No wonder it felt so good. You were right. But I've read that many times and never got that interpretation of it. And I just looked it up in the Amplified, and I want to read it for you. Is that okay? Because I'm talking about us being in one mind and one accord. We can do that if we get anchored up the right way. When I think of how an anchor works, I think of a ship that is safely, securely held by a chain to an anchor that is lodged beneath a large rock at the bottom of the sea. The ship is anchored down, but the Scripture reveals something about our hope in Christ that is amazing and so assuring. Our hope is actually anchored up. What does that mean? How is that even possible? I'm glad y'all asked. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, the first part of verse 20. In the Amplified Bible said this, "Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor." So he says our hope is our anchor. And it's not just an anchor. We have this hope that is a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. It cannot slip. And it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches further and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil where Jesus has entered in for us in advance. See, I've been on a boat, and I've been in the river, and I've been too close to the dam. And there's a big sign right there that says, "Don't come any further." But there's something about casting up there towards that water that's rushing out of that dam. And those stripers are attacked, they center in on it because all these little shad are getting crunched up in that turbine. And there's the seams in the water when those things are turning. And if you cast just right there, and we were as close to that line as we could be, and we were throwing as hard as we could. And I'm telling you, we were sweating, we were into it, we were catching the stripers. And all of a sudden, they blow the horn again. You're supposed to pay attention to that the first time they blow it. When we moved to Fort Mill, and I was only 17 years old, somebody took me to the Fort Mill Dam to go fishing. And all of a sudden, wah, wah, wah. And you know where I was at? I don't know if that sounded like a ram or... I'll leave it alone. I almost said something else. But I was out on those rocks. You ever been to the Fort Mill Dam and on those rocks out there in the middle? When you hear the horn blow, you better be like Jesus and start walking on water. I'm telling you, I thought, well, I'll make a couple more casts. I saw, I heard it coming, and I was right there like, that's not much. Oh, I see all these people getting up on the bank, you know. Next thing I know, I feel that cold water coming up my legs like this. And I got a line out, and I'm not trying, I'm grabbing my tackle box, it's going past me, and I'm trying my best, and next thing I know, I'm swimming, and I'm going down with the current. That same place I'm talking to you about fishing now for stripers, my friend and I were there one night. They shut the river down. We couldn't figure it out. They were searching for somebody's body. They found him the next morning. We knew that they had found him because the helicopters had been flying, had been around, and all of a sudden the water came back up. They turned it back on, went back with life. People get drowned in that place. So I'm right up there, way too close, and they sound the horn again, and they open up more water. And our anchor, because I'm the guy, I was the anchor man, I'm the guy that set the anchor. I'd actually set it on a cable down in the water. I was the thing was, you drive the boat up so far. This is interesting, isn't it? Y'all listening better now than you have the whole time. All right. And there's this cable, and we were going back, drift, 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 and all of a sudden it caught, and I thought we had it, but I felt some give, but I just went ahead and tied it off because I knew we were stopped. Well, our anchor had gone on the other side of that cable. So as the boat, the water starts going like this, all of a sudden the boat starts getting like this, and all of a sudden the boat starts going. How many of you know I was scrambling for my knife? And I was able to reach down and cut that. And we got out of there. And honey, I'm sorry you just had to hear about that now, because I knew it was like... Can we just worship the Lord right now? Thank you for His goodness. Thank you that He's always there. Even when we don't make the best decision. God, I thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the reason that woman colors her hair. I said all of that to say this. We're used to anchors holding us from the bottom up, right? But what Christine had said is that our anchor is this way.
Amen.
And then this scripture proved it. Now listen closely. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches further and enters. A hope is our anchor, right? But this reaches further and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil where Jesus has entered in for us in advance. Let me read what else I wrote. This hope cannot break down because it is not anchored down. This hope is anchored up. This hope is the anchor of the soul. And it is anchored up within the veil of His presence to where I am. As I step out on it, I begin to follow where He is leading and enter where He has entered. And the anchor will not fail because it is held by the solid rock. Everybody knows that anchors are supposed to be held on a rock, but this anchor is still held on a rock, but it's the solid rock Christ, the solid rock Christ Jesus. He is our rock, and He cannot fail. So let me help you get a perspective. Come on, Christine. Get a perspective on where your hope is at. Your hope is anchored up. Your hope was anchored up in Jesus. He said that your head does not need to be down. The psalmist said that He is the lifter of our heads.
Amen.
You know why He lifts our heads? Because He wants you to get your eyes on Him, not on this. How many times have we had to make God do a swan dive so He could get down here? He's up there. Talk to Him up here. One mind, one accord. Can I tell you how powerful the people of God will be when we truly begin to move in one mind and one accord? And what it will take is canning and trashing our desire to build a kingdom for us where He fits in because we say He fits in. And I just feel like that little kingdom is filled with words like this. I just feel like. And it, how many of you know God doesn't want you just to feel like? God wants you to know.
That's right.
And knowing is a whole lot better than just I just feel like. I get suspicious when people come tell me, I just feel like the Lord's saying this. And I'm like, I don't feel that. I need to know what the Lord is saying because His Word says something, and I will go with what thus saith the Lord, not what we just feel like.
Amen.
It's a much better deal.
Amen.
It's the way. It's the only way. He said it will not break down. Because if it broke down, the fault would be down here. But since it's anchored up, if it broke, it could only break up. But it won't break because it's not a rock that will give, it's the solid rock.
Amen.
Jesus. And I'm anchored up in Him. And you're anchored up in Him. And if you're not anchored up in Him, you need to fix your anchor on Him.
Amen.
If I know one thing in this world that I've learned in the past couple of years, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. My daughter taught me that. Because I was praying for Kenzie, you know, for 20 years we prayed for her. We prayed and prayed and prayed, believed and believed and believed, and saw many miracles in her lifetime. But because of all of that she went through, the Lord showed me something, because I was so worried and praying for her, because there were many times before the Lord finally did call her home. But there were many times that it was close, man. I'm telling you, it was close. And a lot of you guys prayed with us through that time. And we saw some mighty miracles in her lifetime, didn't we? Yes, we did. But the Lord showed me this. As I was praying for my daughter, He showed me this. He showed me Michaela, and He showed me Walker. And I had to come to grips with this. Oh, God, I don't have a promise for my healthy children. Well, they're tomorrow. See, I had thought just since I had one that had been so sick that it could be hurt any time, but the truth is it could be the healthy one too. Your dad suffered with cancer for 9 years. And pancreatic cancer, that's not, you want to mess with that one. He lasted a long time, 9 years. In those 9 years, he saw a lot of his friends, several people that he knew along the way, 5 years into it. They got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. They died, and he's still living. See, we're not promised tomorrow. It's our problem. Why put off to tomorrow what you can do right now? Walker, what was that thing you said? So funny. You said that thing about procrastination. What was it?
I just like to say I
have Chuck. Oh, you borrowed this from Chuck. Well, Chuck ain't here, so maybe he's listening.
I was going to say, I'll teach you to stop procrastinating. We'll start tomorrow.
He told me he came to me yesterday. He said, "Dad, I'm going to teach you how to stop procrastinating, but we'll start tomorrow." Don't put off to tomorrow what you should do right now. I believe the presence of the Lord is in this room right now. And He wants to move on your behalf. And I'm not here to embarrass you, but I want you to know that there's a God who loves you. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, and that His blood will save your sins, and that now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of His Father interceding for you, and now the third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, has come down to live inside of you and to be a guide for you and to help you. And if you've not made that decision, right now is the time for you. And if that's you, can you just say, "Jesus, I hear you. I sense your presence. I feel you. I hear your voice. And I will say yes to you. I will accept you as my Savior. I will begin this walk with you. I will commit my life to you." No wonder things have broken down, because I've tried to fix it on my own. But with you, Jesus, I can make it. I accept your blood, Jesus, over my life to cover all of my sin. Something I could never pay for on my own, but I accept your blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One mind and one accord. Can you stand up this morning with me? Can we just go back to where we were at and worship just a few minutes ago and just begin to worship Him right now in this room? With one mind and one accord. And I believe when we do that, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything can happen, and it probably will. You just worship Him right now. Lord, I worship you. If you would raise your hand to Him and say, "God, I lift my hand and surrender to you. I surrender to you, Lord." I surrender my whole life to you, Lord. I surrender my will to you. Guide my footsteps from this point forward, Lord. I put my trust in you, God. Your word says that my hope can be, the hope of my soul can be anchored up to you. And it will not break and it will not slip. And you will hold on to me and no one will be able to pluck me out of your hand. Thank you for that promise, Lord. Can you just thank him for his promises right now? God, I receive your promises. Thank you for the blessing of your word. In Jesus' name. Disappointed that you gave us power to to be your witness in this earth. And we are grateful for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go have a wonderful Sunday. Finish up your week worshiping God. And have a wonderful week this week. God bless you. In Jesus' name.